think about this question, what makes a Christian? Because ultimately that's the answer, right? No, you don't have a unique relationship with God. You're a Christian or you're not. That's pretty much all there is to it as far as that goes. But let's talk about what in fact makes a Christian. And what always helps when you're talking about what is to first talk about what is not. So what does not make a Christian? And some of these things on here, you're going to say, wait a second, but I'll explain. First off, the sinner's prayer is not what makes a Christian. And thankfully, there's a lot of even mainstream Christian groups that are starting to figure this out, that the sinner's prayer is not something that's in the Bible. Reading a Bible does not make you a Christian. Being a member of a church does not make you a Christian. Wearing a cross certainly doesn't make you a Christian. Doing good doesn't make you a Christian. Not doing harm does not make you a Christian. And we're actually going to talk a little bit more about that one tonight. Talking about do no harm, and we're going to examine that. So when you come back tonight, that's what we're going to be talking about. And lastly, baptism doesn't make you a Christian either. Let's talk about what does. Hopefully that list is making you think this morning. So what does? Well, the first, and I'm not going to say, I think all three points this morning are of equal importance. But if we were going to try to put some order of magnitude, I'm going to say we're going from least important to most. If we were going to put this in order of magnitude. The first one, though, is obedience. And we were reading from John 15. We're first going to look at John 14, 15. We know this verse, hopefully. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If we love Jesus, we're going to do what he said. We're going to do what he asked. And then over in chapter 15, what we were just reading, part of that is love. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Did you hear how he did that? That one lay down his life for his friends, and you are my friends if you follow my commandments. Therefore, Jesus lays down his life. His life is given to those who obey. Now, there were a few things on the list earlier. There was two that I'm leaving off this next part, right? The sinner's prayer and wearing a cross. But otherwise, these are all important, aren't they? If you are a Christian, you should be reading your Bible. If you are a Christian, God asks you to be a member of a local body of like-minded Christians. If you're a Christian, you should be doing good. If you are a Christian, you should not be doing harm. If you are a Christian, then surely you followed through Jesus's and the apostles' commandment on baptism. They're all important. But these are not what make a Christian a Christian. These only have any impact because they're part of obeying God. And of course, this isn't even everything about obeying God. Because I would say love is a little bit more than just doing good things. But love is on that list. Forgiving people is on that list. There are lots of things that aren't on this list that we need to be doing as Christians. But we're doing it because we are being obedient. And that word is sort of an anathema to people today, obedience. We kind of hate that word. Not people who are Christians, but other people. And I would even say some groups of Christians would say they don't like that term, obedience. And that there are certain connotations to the concept. But what we as Christians understand is that obedience is a necessary part of life. You're going to be obeying someone, whether it be your local government, state government, federal government. You got to obey somebody, your boss at work. There's somebody to answer to at all times. Is it so strange then that there's a God that also asks us to answer to his authority? So along with obedience, a Christian has a relationship with God. And that's important. That's not just a statement. That's not just a thing to say. If you'll turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Okay, so who is he talking about? The Christians in the churches of Galatia, right? You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Okay, there's part of our obedience. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. So it doesn't matter what we look like. It doesn't matter our human characteristics. It doesn't matter what state of life we're ultimately in, state or stage of life. What matters is we were all baptized into Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. Now, I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he's owner of everything. But he's under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who are under the law, and that we might receive adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. So did you catch that? If we are an heir, then what? Go back to verse 1. Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything, he's under guardians and managers, until the date set by the father. And then he becomes what? He becomes the guardian of his own estate. There comes a time in which we take charge. We take charge of what God has given us. It's not just a statement. Right? It's not just as long as we say Abba Father in verse 6. That's not how this works. We do all the things necessary as part of this relationship. We have to have a relationship with God. Part of that relationship is obedience. Part of that relationship is understanding where we stand with our God. That we have been given grace and mercy. That's part of our relationship. And living in gratefulness and thankfulness to that grace and mercy is part of having a relationship with God too. I want you to stop and think about the relationships that you have. If you're married, that's kind of the one I want you to focus on. But if you're not, think about the relationships you have with other people, maybe other family members, maybe friends. Maybe your boss or a fellow employee, or maybe you are an employer. And so you're thinking about your relationship to your employee. I want you to think about all these relationships. You have a responsibility to each of those relationships. I can't just say that I have a relationship with someone if I'm not following through on that relationship. There's things that I have to do. It's not just I feel I have a relationship with that person if you then do nothing for that relationship. But it's about having a relationship with God, and part of that has to do with obedience. If I'm not obeying, I don't have a relationship with God. But it is deeper than that as well. Remember what I said. If we were going to put these in orders of magnitude, we're going from least important to most important. Because again, on its own, this may not mean anything if that is in the past. I used to have a relationship with God. Then you don't have a relationship with God. This must always be in the present tense. A relationship with God must always be in the present tense. And that comes from perseverance. Now, there's a lot of mainstream groups that talk about perseverance of the saints. I don't think they mean it the way I mean it. We have to persevere until the end, and there's a lot of things that are going to get in our way. And there's going to be a lot of times where I'm going to be tempted to say that God and I have a special relationship. Because that's easier than being obedient and working on the relationship the way God wants me to work on it. If you turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. I have 3:7-4:1. Bear with me. I know that's a bit. But let's follow through what Paul tells the Philippian church. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. Whatever things were gain to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, refuse. That literally means animal dung, by the way. So that I may gain Christ, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you even weeping, they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory, by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I want you to consider some points that he made here. First of all, any advantage or thing that you could have in this life, even an ideal in this life, if it is at all at odds with God, it is refuse. It's going out into the woods and picking up bear scat and thinking you have something of value, or that it'll make a good meal. No, it's rubbish. It's nothing but to be thrown away and left to the environment. I have lost everything. When we try to hold on to the things that are around us, to the influences that we have around us, especially it's hardest when we think that they're right, even though they're at odds with God, then we don't have Christ. We haven't suffered loss of all things for Christ. And we haven't been laid hold of by Christ. I love that he says here in verse 12, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect. Because Paul can't be perfect. That perfection doesn't come from Paul. It doesn't come from his being obedient. His obedience does not transfer some sort of perfection. It's that God has given him his perfection. And that's what I love. He says, I haven't already obtained it or have already become perfect. But later in verse 15, he says, let us therefore, as many as are perfect. Because in God, we do have our perfection. It's not just being obedient, it's having that relationship with God in the first place that gives us our perfection. And because we are perfect, we obey. And because we're obeying, we're persevering. But verse 17, I think, is sort of the crux of the whole section that we read. Join in following my example and observe those who walked according to the pattern you have in us. Pattern. There's a pattern by which we need to be walking. There are steps by which we need to be following. And those are found in here. Not in what we've decided as human beings, what God has decided in here. And again, verse 18. Many walk of whom I often told you and now tell you even weeping. What does that mean? That means that they were Christians. They did have a relationship with God. And the book of Hebrews tells us just as much, that there are those who've tasted the heavenly gift and yet trampled underfoot the Son of God. And notice what he says in verse 19. Why are they enemies? Because their end is destruction, their God is their appetite, and their glory is their shame. And they have set their mind on earthly things. We have to remember that God has told us how we ought to live. And he's told us how we ought to live because there are many things in this life that aren't going to follow us into the next. And what I find interesting is that those are the things that we push against Christianity so hard for in this country and around the world. Is we push for things in our life that at the end of the day have no bearing on how our life is lived in the next. But we have determined that it's going to be everything to us, and it's going to be how we identify ourselves. And God says, none of that's going to matter in the next life, so live like I'm telling you. Because that's what matters in the next life, is living the way that God has asked us to live, because that's being obedient, and because that's showing that we want and have a relationship with our God. And if we have those things, then we should be persevering to the end. I want you to notice, lastly, before we wrap up, verse 21. Why ought we stand firm in the Lord? Chapter 4, verse 1. It's in chapter 1, or chapter 3, verse 21. The Lord Jesus Christ will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. I want you to notice that really quickly. He will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory. That will not happen if we focus on our own glory. Whether it be our individual glory or the glory that we think we have as a human species. If that's the glory that we're trusting in, if that's the wisdom that we're trusting in, we can't be conformed to his glory. That cannot and will not happen. What makes a Christian? An obedient person who has a relationship with God and will persevere to the end. And all the things that are in between those lines. Because it's not as simple as it sounds. These things are not as simple as they sound. And when people say, God and I have a special relationship, no, you don't. Special relationship sounds like you're at odds with one another. And you are. God has determined how we have a relationship with Him. God has determined what obedience to Him is. And as long as we continue in those things to the end, if you don't take anything else from this sermon, then it's that our relationship with God and our obedience must be in the present tense. Remember that. If you persevere to the end, then you are perfect. Not because of anything you've achieved here, but because you've determined to follow what God has to say here. God has a lot of things to say that don't fit what we want. How we wish our lives could be like, how we wish things were. God doesn't just say, okay, you wish that's the way things were, there you go. That's not what He does. He's not a genie ready to grant our wishes. We must persevere to the end. If at any point you feel like one of these three things is not where it ought to be, then we've got a moment this morning while Kai leads us in one more song that you can make it right. But I can tell you right now, if your special relationship means living outside of what the Bible has written, you don't have any of this. You're not being obedient, you don't have a relationship with God, and you're not persevering to the end. And therefore, you're not a Christian. It's not me saying anything. The Bible is telling you, not me. And ultimately, it is going to be between you and God. But if you're relying on some special relationship with God, it will not work out well. And you need to fix it this morning. You need to fix it as soon as possible. We don't know when the end is going to be here. We don't know how long we need to be persevering. What matters is to persevere. And if you feel like you haven't been persevering, you don't have a relationship with God, like what the Bible says, or you haven't been obedient to the things that the Bible says, then we need to take care of that this morning. If you've never even started a relationship with God, now's the perfect time as well. The present time is always the best time to take care of that. Because once the future comes, it's always the present. So take advantage of this opportunity we have this morning as we stand and as we sing.
There's a